time has come once again to wake early, wear red, load up the cart, and return to St. Joe. Just as we've done in years past. But this time, it's different.
Everything fast today, huh? Fast, fast, fast.
Make it easy. Let's go.
Because we don't want a clean slate. And this is not a fresh start.
Kansas City has beaten the Houston Texans.
This is a continuation of something great.
22 consecutive years, 8 straight postseason losses. Is going to end today with a dominating Chiefs performance.
How about those Chiefs?
Something started, but not yet finished. And it starts with all of us. Here at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, Missouri, where the morning's just begun and the work is far from done.
Welcome to Chiefs Blueprint. He's BJ Kissel and I'm Pete Sweeney. The long winter drought has passed and football is here. And over the next month, the Chiefs will conduct about 30 practices between St. Joe and KC, and they'll play in 4 preseason games. At the end of it all, the Chiefs' 53-man roster for the 2016 season will be set. We'll have all the highlights and analysis right here on Chiefs Blueprint.
And we've got a great show for you to get you ready for training camp. We're going to head down to Louisiana with Shark Kendrick West to see where it all started for him in his hometown. We'll take a look at Alex Smith's strong 2015 season and how that projects for 2016. And voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, will sit down with the Chiefs offensive line coach, Andy Heck.
But first, there'll be quite a few position battles to watch throughout training camp, but you might not see much of a fight for the Chiefs' starting right tackle job. The team signed a long-term contract with Mitch Schwartz early this offseason, and the second highest graded right tackle in the league, according to Pro Football Focus, is feeling right at home in Kansas City.
All right, Mitch, now that you had some time to be around your new teammates here in Kansas City, just what has been the vibe from the room so far? What do you like about the guys you've gotten to get to know a little bit?
You know, I was a little bit nervous, just trying to be able to kind of recreate that, because you end up spending pretty much all your time with those guys, so you definitely want a good group of guys and a good room, and it's blown away my expectations. I think the key is being able to balance work and having fun.
Tight! Break! Very nice. Nice tight feet. Not a lot of body movement.
Has there been anything that surprised you about an Andy Reid practice?
We can run some plays. There's a couple of drills where you kind of just run a lot of plays and get in good shape.
Mm-hmm. It's not a lot of downtime.
No, which is, it's awesome. The theory behind it is in the fourth quarter, you're going to be tired, so you better practice it. Otherwise, you're not going to get used to playing tired. You know, I think there's been a big emphasis on two-minute drive. You know, it's something that to get great at, you really have to do almost every day. So it's been cool to see that actually put into place.
Where do you see yourself in learning the playbook, learning some of those finer details, not just your assignment, but some of those other finer details that we're talking about? And what do you like about this offense?
Well, I think that's kind of the key is understanding the details for us. You know, in the run game, it's understanding where the running back's going to be in relation to you. It's pretty similar to the quarterbacks and getting a feel for where they're going to be on certain pass plays in the pocket. You know, if you expect them to be at 9 yards and he's at 6 and you set a little too deep, it's going to give the guy an inside rush. So it's kind of those finer details of just honing in on it and kind of getting everyone's rhythm down.
My shot!
Woo! Hey, way to run. Nice.
From what you've been around him so far, talking throughout practices, during OTAs and mini camps and all that, what have you gotten a sense from him as far as the type of quarterback and the type of leader that he is?
I think it kind of speaks for itself at this point. Like you said, the leadership abilities, you know, being able to get everyone on the right page. You know, there's certain things where, you know, you're in the huddle and he's calling a play and, you know, he's giving guys the adjustment. You know, those older guys, they get to a point where, and especially, you know, I think, was it Alex when he was in San Francisco, he had a different coordinator every year. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm sure that, you know, that's been really cool for him to kind of have that consistency and be able to take things to a higher level of detail.
Right side, caught it! Touchdown! Kansas City!
It's going to be exciting to see that guy in St. Joe the next couple weeks.
Well, I know we're not the only ones looking forward to seeing what Mitch Schwartz can do when the pads come on. His offensive line coach Andy Hecht's interest has surely peaked as well. Voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, got Coach Hecht's thoughts on Schwartz and the rest of the offensive line in this conversation.
Listen, I want to see the baddest, toughest, most ferocious troop out there today. We hold no to that, okay? Hold out on three.
1, 2, 3, on!
When I ask you about your group overall and a chance to have the continuity on that group.
Right. Well, this being our fourth year now in this offense, number one, gives us a chance to have some continuity because we've been teaching the same thing over and over again. And each time we're hoping that they pick up one more little nugget, because on any given play, there's more information than you can possibly cover in 1, 2, even 3 installations. So while we've got great competition going on, we also have, I'd say, the best continuity we've had.
Real quickly, Fish, okay? Same three kicks, boom, boom.
When Eric Fisher became the 1-1 pick, he was going to have the spotlight on him as many days as he plays in the NFL. Where's Eric Fisher at right now?
He's had a terrific spring. You know, when you talk about Fish, the way he's approached his work every year, it's been tremendous. So the guy has got a very good work ethic, and each year we can see a maturing process. I've seen this. I'm growing. I know how this is. I'm better equipped to deal with scenarios in a game that may come up. And so I've seen him grow every year that we've been here, and look forward to his best year yet.
In the offseason, the biggest acquisition would have been Mitchell Schwartz, a guy who's been very steady with Cleveland. What does he bring to the table?
What I've been very pleased with is his leadership ability. Guy's a tremendous leader. For a guy who is on the more quiet and reserved side, okay, in our room, he's a vocal leader and has the respect, commands the respect of every guy in that room. And what it's done is you see the attention level, the focus, the staying on task has gone up a great deal. So he's done a tremendous job being a good leader.
Let's go to hand replace. Men, lock in, hand replace.
What about those interior guys?
You know, when you talk about Zach Fulton, he's a guy who started games for us as a rookie. He started games for us as a center and a guard. Mitch Morse, you know, in a similar way to Fish, he's going to be 1 year the wiser. When you talk about Larry Duvernay-Tardif, I mean, this is a guy that really has a limited football background and has just taken off. Of course, he's as smart as there is out there. But more importantly than that, Larry may be the toughest, most rugged guy I've ever been around. Now we add Park in there. We've got a ton of other guys in there. I mean, there is some great competition going on. Park and Zach, they're going to be going head-to-head. You talk about Pugsley, Gerard Pugsley, who's been in the system now a few years, doing great. So like I said, this is deep a group as I've been around since I've been here.
Coming up on Chiefs Blueprint.
Pascal Conley!
This season was a lot like his career, where he starts off really slow, and then somewhere along the way, he finds the resolve to push forward and to surprise people.
Welcome back to the show. One of the key storylines heading into the 2015 Chiefs training camp was the budding chemistry between Chiefs quarterback Alex Smith and the team's big offseason acquisition, Jeremy Maclin. The two looked in sync throughout training camp and even connected for some big plays during preseason. But as the regular season got underway, that chemistry wasn't translating into success for the team as a whole.
Well, the Chiefs lost 5 of the first 6 games, and criticism of the offense and Smith was mounting. But as we all know, the Chiefs reversed that trend in 2015, winning a franchise record 10 straight games and earning a playoff berth. A lot of that success was due in large part to the toughness of Alex Smith.
Alex Smith throws left side, pass caught, Conley stretches out, touchdown, Kansas City!
Nice play! This season was a lot like his career, where he starts off really slow, and then somewhere along the way he finds the resolve to push forward and to surprise people.
And that will do it. Kansas City is going to get rid of 5 games of frustration with a victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That feels good, man. Feels good, man.
They have 3rd and 10 at their own 49. An empty backfield. They snap it with 1 on the play clock. Alex Smith will run left. He's got all kinds of room.
The funny thing about Alex is that people kind of forgot that he is a really good athlete.
You know, he would go through his progressions. If it wasn't there, you know, he's got the athletic ability. Let's use it.
Alex was a guy that understood how powerful his legs were.
Running the football, being mobile, the more he did that, the more he understood that I'm helping my team win by doing what I can do well.
As confident as he is as a runner, I don't think he ever really understood just how impactful that can be until this season. And I think around that Detroit game in London, you really started to see Alex Smith, the playmaker, start to flourish.
Alex Smith in trouble, trying to buy time, now runs 35, 40, across the 45, Alex Smith still 40 of the Lions. Alex Smith in the pocket, trying to get away, looked like he was sacked, then he escaped to his left and then turned it on. Inside the 5, Alex Smith, angles left, touchdown! Alex Smith thinks he's back with the Utah
He was Utes. Willing to take off if he had to, he was going to make the big play. And he was going to trust some of his receivers when he forced the ball into tight coverage to be able to make those throws to win ball.
He's got a touchdown! Kansas City on an excellent throw in the back middle of the end zone.
Specifically, I remember the Buffalo game where that team was playing very aggressively and they're putting their cornerbacks on islands, and Alex went down the field and made plays.
It's Alex Smith with time. Fires for the end zone. Kelsey, he's got it on a post pattern. Touchdown! Again, a clean pocket right for Macklin. Deep. Right side, caught it. Touchdown! Kansas City on a deep bomb of 41 yards.
You know, Alex plays, he's got his style, and I think people that decide or make the comments that they want him to play outside of that style haven't really been paying attention.
I think a lot of things Alex does aren't necessarily quantifiable or easily recognizable. That's where I think he has his biggest moments, doing the thing people don't always see.
We still, to this point, have not seen Alex hit on every single cylinder and reach that ceiling that he has.
I think there are a lot of good pieces in place for Alex to have a good year.
When we return on Chiefs Blueprint.
I think now that's why he takes every day as a blessing, because he knows how close it was to being taken away from him.
The Drop Chiefs training camp isn't just about getting an up-close look at the established Chiefs veterans and the star players that we all know and love. The experience of watching a Chiefs practice, knowing that somewhere out in the field a future star that we don't yet know, can be even more exciting. To make a strong case that last year, that player was sure Kendrick West.
Yeah, and West had a total of just 4 offensive plays to his name heading into last year's training camp, and he had never even registered a carry. So the idea that he'd soon be stepping in for an injured Jamaal Charles and would be a focal point of the Chiefs' offense would have seemed like a daunting challenge to anyone. But as you'll see here, sure Kendrick West is no stranger to overcoming adversity.
See, they got a picture right there. That's what we won state track, mate. Like, it's saying this picture right here, man. Like, this talent, Jaren. Jaren's supposed to be, man. He's supposed to be somewhere.
That's LeJoris.
What Joe, Jay, he had someone's talent. What he doing now? Walking the streets. This guy just killed the guy. Man, he's one of my best. He used to stay with me. He used to live with me. There was some crazy stuff that going on in this small town.
On the northern outskirts of rural Louisiana, about an hour drive up the winding country highway stemming from Shreveport, lies the isolated and struggling small towns of Cullen and Spring Hill. After a paper mill closed some time ago, erasing more than 1,000 local jobs, the town was hit hard, losing more than 30% of its population. Today, many of its businesses are closed, its buildings empty. But this community has and will always take care of its own. This is where Kansas City Chiefs running back Sharkandrick West first made a name for himself, both because of what he was able to do on the field, but also what he had to endure to make his way back under those indelible Friday night lights.
In the middle of nowhere, ain't much to do, I tell you that. I mean, whoever thought y'all I would have y'all here with me in your cousins right here in Louisiana. That's what's still crazy to me. Like I say, all of it's surreal.
What do you think that this community means to him? Because he still comes back here, he still talks with the guys on the team. Just what do you think that growing up here means to him?
Growing up in a small community, it's more of a family environment. He's still Moosey when he comes home. He's not Mr. NFL or anything. He's still Moosey.
Where did he get that nickname?
That came from Nana, his grandmother.
I wanted to see him
And boy, I looked at him, I said, ooh, what a big baby this is, you know. So I said, what are we going to call him? I said, we're going to call him Moosey because he looked like a big moose. And that's why he got the name Moosey.
You know, everybody knows him as Moosey. And I said, when he comes home, he's just regular old Moosey. You know, he always had something a little different. You can kind of tell he kind of stood out. He always had that it factor, I guess people call it.
He has a desire to win. It doesn't matter if he's playing football or basketball, baseball, tiddlywinks. He doesn't care. He wants to win.
I remember we was playing Loyola Prep High School. It was a close game. Like, we were going back and forth. I think I scored, what, 5 touchdowns that day? That's the best game. I never forget that day.
It was almost like a man playing against boys. I mean, he was always faster. He could jump higher. You know, he could cut and change directions like a video game. He was just a phenomenal athlete.
At just 16 years old, bobbing and weaving through opposing defenses with ease, Charkandrick West seemed unstoppable. But shortly after a 3-touchdown performance midway through his freshman season, West was stopped in his tracks by an exasperating and mysterious illness.
I woke up the next day and, like, was just, like, I couldn't move. I had a fever. I really, like, couldn't walk. I was, like, weak. I was screaming for my mom, and she came in. They checked my fever. It was, like, 104. I was like, what's going on?
You know, and a lot of it was just for so long, they didn't know what was wrong. He would wake up some days and not be able to move.
And we went all over Louisiana just about and everywhere trying to figure out from doctor to doctor, you know, what was going on with him. I mean, they checked him from A to Z, you know, from West Nile to HIV to everything, you know, they couldn't find nothing.
He went from this tremendous athlete to a point where he couldn't get out of bed.
And one of the doctors said, well, I really don't know what to tell you what this is, he said, but you know, you can pretty much forget about football because you may not even walk again.
It wasn't until the spring of Charkandrick's freshman year, while recovering in the Shriners Hospital in Shreveport, that he was diagnosed with juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, a disease that affects approximately 50,000 children in the United States. After all was said and done, Charkandrick had lost more than 40 pounds. And more than a year later, as football practice got underway in the fall of his junior year, he was back on the field, working harder than ever.
We all knew that he felt terrible, but he was still putting 150% into every drill, every practice. That work ethic and that drive still came through.
I think now that's why he takes every day as a blessing, because he knows how close it was to being taken away from him.
Thanks for joining us on this week's show. Be sure to check us out next week at the very same time. We'll have plenty of highlights and analysis from the first week of Chiefs training camp to keep you in the know.
And remember, the Chiefs training camp will be in St. Joseph, Missouri for a total of 18 practices over the next few weeks. These practices in the morning so you can beat the heat, and there's nothing beating the view. This is the closest look you can get to this team all year, and it's one of the toughest and most intense training camps in the entire NFL. And remember, after practice, you can get an even closer look as at least one positional group will be signing autographs every day.
Can't beat the price. As long as you're not wearing Raider gear, you and your family can come to practice free of charge. The only exception is for American Family Fun Day next Saturday, August the 6th, when admission will be $5. For BJ Kissel, I'm Pete Sweeney. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you guys in St. Joe.